Good morning. You're listening to Husky Nation News right here on WHUS Stores 91.7 FM. I'm your host, Adam Hushin, and this broadcast is in collaboration with the Daily Campus and UCTV. Here's this week's news from the University of Connecticut. This week was election week here at UConn, where students had the chance to vote for their 2019 and 2020 undergraduate student government leaders. Also on the ballot was reaffirmation votes for UConn Purg, Subog, and the Daily Campus. These votes determined whether these organizations would continue to receive either the same amount or increased funding. The funding is paid by all students and appears on the fee bill each year. The results for the election should be out by the end of the day. The UConn Residence Hall Association hosted a Q&A with Connecticut Senator May Flexer in Homer Babbage Library Tuesday night. Staff writer Gabriella DeBenedictis reported Flexer discussed her motivations to become involved in politics, which apparently began back when she visited her town council in high school. She also discussed with students how she believes college students are speeding up the pace of change with increased activism, and discussed the best ways to go about continuing this work. On February 20th, three journalists spoke about war coverage in 1980s Central America at the Conover Auditorium. The story was reported by the UCTV's Tama Mone. Scott Wallace, Robert Nicholsberg, and John Lee Anderson talked about their experience and described their role in depth. The exhibition of Frontline Photography and War Reporting will remain at the Thomas J. Dodd Research Center until March 15th. The Delta Gen Ed Group will propose new general education requirements that are geared more towards 21st century skills, reports Ashley Aglisano for the Daily Campus. The proposal will also include the introduction of an integrative experience course. This can include a service learning course, internship, education abroad, or capstone course. Included in the Daily Campus this week was a feature story about students' experience wearing religious head coverings like hijabs and kippahs. Some students told tales of increased pride and comfort with wearing religious head coverings, while others relayed a different story, some relating to the three religion-related hate crimes that have been reported on the store's campus between 2015 and 2017. The student organization Mixed hosted the first ever Food Fusion Feud at the Asian American Cultural Center. It's a cooking competition with the goal to create a dish that represented different cultures and ethnicities. Participants were divided into teams and given an hour and a half to complete their dishes. The winners were chosen by a panel of judges, and the winners received treats and t-shirts. Geraldine Diaz has the rest of the story for WHUS on our website. This week, our news team spotlighted the horse practicum here at the University of Connecticut, a program that has existed for about 50 years and today teaches about 250 students equine skills. Alethea Cavarnos has that full story for us, which will be up on our website, whus.org, later today. Comedian Francesca Ramsey came to campus on Monday to perform at the Student Union Theater. WHUS caught up with her for a live interview on Monday, and that interview can be heard on our website. David Hogg, a Parkland shooting survivor that has since become an activist, came to campus this week as well. Hogg discussed a wide range of topics, but focused on the fact that no matter what you believe in, you should not waste your voice. This was reported on by Rebecca Lurie for the Hartford Current. WHUS will have the full story next week. Finally, UConn Women in Business hosted a panel last month called Women Empowering Women, Advocating for Yourself and Others, in which women already in the business industry offered advice and inspiration. Our news correspondent Kara Murray has the story. Take a listen.
A panel of female business representatives spoke at the University of Connecticut on February 19th as part of an event titled Women Empowering Women, Advocating for Yourself and Others. The event was hosted by UConn Women in Business and was held in the UConn Student Union Theater. About 30 people attended the event, which was open to all majors. Allison Eastwood, Karen Nash, Kara Paganini, Jennifer Porcelli, and Axel Rusin all hold top positions at various finance and insurance companies in Connecticut, such as Cigna, Synchrony, Altria, Gartner, and NatWest Markets, respectively. Susan Winkler, Vice President and Executive Director of Connecticut Insurance and Financial Services, served as a moderator for the panel. The event was structured as a Q&A between the panelists and Winkler, where they answered questions about the biggest obstacles in their careers, finding a good mentor, and how they managed to obtain such successful positions in professions that are typically male-dominated. They stressed being an advocate for yourself at work and building your own credibility.
But as you learn to develop and perform and deliver within your role, that will then equip you into being an observer to then contribute to that conversation.
During the last 15 minutes of the discussion, the panelists took questions from the audience, which was mostly made up of female students who were also looking to go into the business field after graduation. The audience members asked questions about how to build their own brands, how to be assertive but not aggressive, and whether any of the panelists had experienced discrimination at any point in their careers. The discussion ended with the panelists giving some final words of general advice to the audience.
You gotta be willing to take risks, and you gotta take something that's gonna stretch you and challenge you and make you a little uncomfortable and get you stuck in.
Work hard, network, be true to yourself, right? And grab those opportunities.
Listen and learn, ask a lot of questions, and take every job that you have as a learning opportunity.
For WHUS News, I'm Kara Murray.
And now for a quick weekend weather report. Today you'll see increased clouds with a high near 32 and a calm wind becoming southwest 5 to 7 miles per hour in the afternoon, into tonight where it'll be mostly cloudy with a low around 22. Saturday you can expect sunny with a high near 40, light and variable wind, and then Saturday night it'll be a chance of snow between midnight and 4 a.m. and then turn to sleet. It'll be partly cloudy with a low around 24. The chance of precipitation is 60%, and new snow and sleet accumulation is less than half an inch. That's all the news we have this week. We'll now be going into a short break before starting the talk segment of our show, where I'll be talking with Senior Abby Brone, one of the students that runs the UConn Journalism Department's weekly newsletter called The Roundup. Stay tuned.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. Last summer, residents in West Woodlawn, a primarily African-American community in Chicago, helped identify and map all their neighborhood trees. The project laid the groundwork for this fall's tree planting campaign.
We'll get the neighbors together and we'll present the data. We'll show them the recommended species options. We want to consider how it flowers in the spring, how it goes to leaf in the summer, the colors it turns in the fall, and how it looks naked in the winter.
That's Naomi Davis, founder of the nonprofit Blacks in Green. She says beauty is not the only goal. Trees can increase property values and provide shade that helps residents stay cool and save energy. They divert stormwater, help purify the air, and absorb carbon pollution.
It is the environment and the economy. It is about health and wealth. We can work together as neighbors from the ground up, organize ourselves, train ourselves, and fund ourselves to live in beautiful, healthy places.
Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. Learn more at yaleclimateconnections.org.
And we are back from that short break. We'll now be moving into the discussion segment of our new show. Please note, from this point forward, the views and opinions expressed on this WHUS News Department show are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily the views of the staff, management, or licensee of WHUS Radio or the University of Connecticut. I'm in the studio with Abby Brone. Hi, Abby.
Hi.
How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm not too bad. So we're talking to you today because there's a great program going on at the University of Connecticut, in the journalism department specifically. Professor Marie Shanahan is running the UConn Journalism Department's newsletter, and it's called The Roundup. And what your student employee there, what exactly is your position?
So it's technically a class through the journalism department, like you said. It's run by four newer students to the class, and then a handful of students who have created the newsletter before help out each week. And we are each assigned a handful of news organizations across Connecticut that we keep track of each week, make note of important stories that come out, and then we gather them all. And each Friday, we release a newsletter where we've aggregated the top stories from Connecticut sources and journalists, and then we send them out to our subscribers so everyone is updated on what's going on in Connecticut straight from local sources.
Mm-hmm. So you cover strictly news in Connecticut, or are there ever any national stories?
Typically, we cover things that have at least a connection to Connecticut. So if it's something about taxes, say, and it's a national proposal, we'll relate it back to what's happening locally in Connecticut, or vice versa. If a popular story recently has been banning single-use plastic bags, a lot of proposals are going around Connecticut to ban these. And if it's relating to stories throughout the nation of plastic being banned, we'll make it nationwide.
So you said you're all assigned specific news sources to follow or to get your information from. Which ones are you specifically assigned to?
So I am assigned to, well, we each have a handful, about 6 to 10 sources each. And they can be print sources, typically. They can be broadcast TV news. They can be radio. I cover WNPR, WTNH, Hartford Business Journal, New Haven Biz. We also cover, some of my peers cover all the big papers, the Hartford Courant, Stanford Advocate, Middletown Press. We make sure that all areas of the state are covered.
That's definitely good. So I'm curious, how did you get involved in this?
Well, I took last semester, Professor Shanahan teaches the online journalism class, which is a prerequisite to the Roundup newsletter class. So I took that last semester and I really enjoyed it. I learned a lot about how to navigate social media to your advantage when it comes to reporting and finding sources. I learned about how to use different types of networking, graphics, aggregation. And then I decided that she promoted the Roundup newsletter in our online journalism class, and I decided that that was definitely something that I want to take this semester. And it also, it looks really good for our resumes and things. It's something you can add to the skills that you developed at school.
That's very true. So obviously, you're getting involved. How do you like this class compared to others that you've taken?
It's definitely my favorite class that I'm taking currently. And I might even say it's my favorite class I've taken in total.
Oh, wow.
At UConn. Because it's very collaborative. It's a very small class. There's only 4 of us. We get to work individually. We get to work as a group. We get to work one-on-one with Professor Shanahan.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like we're doing real journalism, real important news we're producing. We are taking other people's work. We're restructuring it. We're giving them credit, of course. And mm-hmm. we're bringing it out to the public so that they stay informed. And that's something that you don't do in your classes often. Typically, you know, you're reading stuff from books, you're studying things, and you're doing rote memorization. This, it feels like we're making a real difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so actually creating a real product, making something tangible that you're reaching hundreds in the state with, as opposed to, you know, memorizing stuff for an exam type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. So what exactly, you said you take other reporters' work and you send it out through this newsletter. So what exactly are the steps in this process? What exactly do you and the other students in the class do?
So the class meets Tuesdays and Thursdays, and then the newsletter is published Friday mornings by noon. So each Tuesday we come into class and we have pitches. Stories, we've been keeping track of the stories that our sources have published over the weekend. And throughout the week, come Thursday, there may be newer pitches. And we propose them to the class and to Professor Shanahan. We say, this is what I saw WTNH covered. Looks really interesting. And the fact that all the different students are all covering different sources and different areas of the state, it's honestly very rare that 2 students will have the same story that they're trying to pitch, because we're covering different areas. Different, very hyper-local stories will often make the cut for the newsletter. So we propose our stories every Tuesday. Professor Shanahan looks at the sources we provided, checks out what she thinks would be the most important to write about, and then come Thursday, we're given our specific assignments to write blurbs, which are about 6 sentences long explaining the story.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll also have, in between different blurbs, we'll have what we call the best of the rest, or in case you missed it, which will just be quick headlines saying, hey, did you hear about this?
Yeah.
And then if you want to find out more, you can click the link and read the full story. So we write those Thursday, either in class or after class. And then each week, a specific student is what we call the anchor, which means that Thursday evening, they have to go through, read the newsletter, make sure there are no typos, make sure all the links work properly, give Professor Shanahan the okay, she'll look it over, and it gets sent out Friday.
Mm-hmm. So one thing I thought was interesting was the fact that it's a blurb. It's only about 6 sentences long, you said, and then you attribute it to the reporter and the original source that it came from. So it sounds like it's reaching everyone's news preferences. There's the people that are subscribing to this because they don't want to miss anything and they enjoy reading the news and they might want to make sure they get something and read the full story. And then it's also important for the people that maybe don't have time or it's not in their habit to read a full newspaper or a full news article every day and just want the quick word on what's happening so they can engage.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly our purpose. We know kind of what audience we're going for. We know that we're looking to help people who want to be in the know but don't have time to do all the searching, read a daily paper.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing the work for them, essentially. We find all the big stories. We simplify it so it's easy to read quickly while you're on the way somewhere. Read it from your phone. And then you're informed on everything that happened that week.
All right. That's definitely an important service. So is that... I've been reading through the latest newspaper. It at the bottom, there's also a best of the rest section, it's called. Can you tell me a little bit about that? Or not best of the rest, I'm sorry. There's also a things to do section. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, so at the bottom of each newsletter, once you get there, we have a section dedicated just to events going on that weekend. It comes out Friday, like I said, so we'll have typically 2 events for each day of the weekend. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we'll each have 2 events happening. And then we'll also include ongoing throughout the weekend and upcoming events. So there'll be events that are happening for every weekend in March or every Friday in April. And we'll include them maybe twice that month just to say, hey, did you know this is happening? Check it out sometime this month, along with the weekend-specific events. So around the holidays for Valentine's Day, we had Valentine's Day-specific events. We had anti-Valentine's Day events that we featured. This coming edition's going to have a few St. Patrick's Day events. And we try to make the events widespread. So we have some that are bar crawls and specific new restaurants. And then we'll also include some children's events. We did like an indoor kids carnival that was happening at the Excel Center a few weeks ago.
Nice.
There is going to be Sesame Street Live coming up this month. So
Ooh.
We try to make sure that we include everyone.
That's definitely important. Now, you were telling me before we started this interview a little bit about you're doing something extra this week. You interviewed a reporter from one of your sources and you did a little write-up on it. Could you tell me a little bit about that?
Sure. So about each week, we'll do a kind of behind the scenes, behind the story, elaborating interview. So last week, we had someone from the Law Journal. And this week, I did an interview with the vice president of Hearst, Connecticut, Matt DiRienzo. He is in charge of all the papers that Hearst publishes in Connecticut. Hearst is a very big company across the country. They own a lot of news organizations. They have 8 daily newspapers in Connecticut. They have about 13 weekly newspapers and then I think 21 websites. And he is the news and online vice president. So he's in charge of making sure that both sides, the print and the online sides, function well. Mm-hmm. And so I have an interview with him. I asked him a little bit about the difference between working for a large corporate news organization versus a private or public and local paper. He talks a bit about the challenges of staying in touch with the community when he has such a high up position that takes him away from the streets. I talked to him a little bit about how he came to this position. He told me an interesting story about his start in journalism. It should be a good read.
I was going to say, yeah, don't give away too much. We want people to go read it for themselves on the newsletter when it comes out. Now, there's also one more aspect to it that I'm hearing about. Are there podcasts involved too, or is that a completely separate thing that the department does?
There are some podcasts. So for these behind-the-story interviews that are done either with a specific source, there's also podcasts that are done to expand on stories that were followed throughout the semester. So we have one that's specifically talking about the rising trend in colleges having classes about medicinal marijuana or just marijuana in general. And so there's a podcast that was done about that. And then I know next semester, Professor Shanahan is actually having a class just dedicated to podcasting.
Oh, that's cool. Will you be taking that?
I'm a senior, so unfortunately, I'll be graduating.
Unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. But I wish.
Maybe you could take that in some of your grad school work.
We'll see.
So one of the obviously major parts of creating something like this is getting people to read it, getting people to subscribe. How do you guys go about getting people to subscribe to your newsletter?
So one of the main ways that we try and gain readership is through our social media presence. We mm-hmm. have a Twitter account. It's just the Roundup CT, and we are usually just followed by fellow journalists or CT news organizations. And each week we'll tweet to get ready for the weekly newsletter. If it's Wednesday, we'll say, happy hump day. The Roundup is 2 days away. And then when the time comes, we'll tweet the link to the article, the newsletter itself. We'll tweet our subscribe. We try to include like graphics or images that kind of engage the reader a little more. We've also posted on Facebook. We had one of our writers post on the buy or sell page for UConn, and that surprisingly got us quite a few followers. Professor Shanahan also uses her connections. She'll post in UConn alumni groups and things like that.
Okay, really cool. And have you gotten any feedback from anybody, or would you know about that, or is that more Shanahan's business?
Professor Shanahan knows more so about that, but when we do get really good feedback, she'll tell us. She'll come into class and say, oh, by the way, so-and-so from, it's typically a fellow journalist, so someone from the Hartford Courant, because Shanahan worked there previously, will tell her, oh, this week's Roundup was really good. You did a really good job. I know that the journalism department head told her recently that she really enjoyed it. So we do get positive feedback. We haven't heard anything negative yet, but when we get positive feedback, she'll typically tell us a little morale boost.
That's pretty cool. I would like that. So where exactly can people go to subscribe for this?
So you can go to either UConn Journalism's website, there's a link there, or you can just type in bit.ly/TheRoundupCT. Our Twitter and Facebook are both TheRoundupCT. Our email is Professor Shanahan's email, which is also on UConn Journalism. You can find us pretty easily.
All right. Well, that should be it. Thank you so much for talking to me, Abby. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
All right. It's been a pleasure. All right. So that's it for today. I'd like to thank you to the Daily Campus and UCTV for collaborating with us. Thank you to Ethan Smith, who was the creator of our theme music. And thank you to the listeners, of course, for tuning in. I've been your host, Adam Hushin, and you are listening to WHUS Stores 91.7 FM. Hope you have a great rest of your day.